What happens when you're born into a world where every rule is designed to break you? Rose McGowan's story doesn't begin with red carpets or Harvey Weinstein. It starts in a stone barn in Tuscany, delivered by a blind midwife into the arms of a literal cult. The Children of God wasn't just her childhood. It was her first lesson in how systems of power operate through fear, devotion, and the systematic erasure of self. When their leader began advocating sexual abuse of children through illustrated directives called Mo letters, her father finally fled, but the damage was already embedded. McGowan learned early that defiance has consequences, that speaking up invites punishment, and that survival often means splitting yourself into pieces, the part that obeys and the part that secretly refuses to surrender. Trading Florence for Gig Harbor, Washington felt like escaping one prison only to enter another. America promised freedom but delivered conformity with a smile. On her first day of school, forced to recite a Pledge of Allegiance she didn't know, McGowan responded to mockery with one word, fascistas. The message was immediate. Difference must be crushed. At 13, her stepfather locked her in rehab for wearing black and listening to The Doors, convinced she was a drug addict despite having no evidence. She escaped twice, choosing homelessness over captivity. Living on Oregon streets meant constant rain, gnawing hunger, and learning to disappear inside herself during the worst moments. Meanwhile, her father's psychological warfare continued. Daily reminders that nobody could ever like her, the word whore weaponized with surgical precision, threats to staple her tongue to the floor. In response, she wrote The Death Monologue by Flashlight, a meticulous catalog of his abuses, planning his murder with a meat mallet. The cult's perfectionism, ironically, saved his life. She could never get the words exactly right. Her body became public property at 13 honking cars, crude gestures, a constant barrage, teaching her that existing as female meant existing for consumption. She researched breast reduction surgery at the library, desperate for invisibility. When acting found her, or when she pragmatically chose it as a means of survival, the industry revealed itself as another cult, just better dressed. Auditions meant performing emotional vulnerability in sterile rooms before panels of men who held your economic future in their hands. The naked dress at the 1998 MTV Awards wasn't about sex. It was a middle finger to an industry that had already stripped her bare. But the world missed the point, slut-shaming her instead. The casting process for Scream required multiple screen tests after her agent dared negotiate fair pay, and a casual suggestion that she might dye her hair revealed the truth. Women were interchangeable visual elements, differentiated by appearance rather than depth. She was learning that Hollywood's cult operated on the same principles as the Children of God: worship the powerful, silence dissent, and never question the system. In 1997, success seemed within reach. 4 Sundance films, MTV cameras following her around. Her manager sent her to a business meeting with a powerful studio head at his hotel restaurant. The host directed her upstairs to an entire floor. She tried impressing him, naively believing this was about her career. When he mentioned his jacuzzi, she thought it was tacky bragging. Then he pushed her into a room and raped her while she froze, finally faking an orgasm to escape. Her co-star's response haunts her. "God damn it, I told him to stop doing that." Her manager suggested it would help her career. A powerful agent admitted killing an LA Times expose. A criminal attorney dismissed her, "You're an actress, you've gone a sex scene, you'll never win." She was blacklisted as bad news, while her trauma became industry gossip, another woman sacrificed to protect the cult's most valuable priest. Red carpets aren't celebrations. They're public executions by 1,000 cameras. After 2 hours of transformation into a plastic version of herself, she's driven to face screaming crowds, her body shaking with stress, knowing the online savagery that awaits. Photographers, mostly men, scream her name aggressively, demanding she turn so they can capture her face and ass simultaneously. This is her job. She'd been working to survive since childhood, never experiencing a moment without stomach-knotting worry. As a child, her dream vacation was a week in a hospital where no one could hurt her and she could have all the pudding she wanted. After the assault, Marilyn Manson, whose public persona terrified millions, became her unexpected savior, painting watercolors of her Boston Terriers while she shopped for Martha Stewart glassware, helping her through night terrors when Hollywood had abandoned her. The industry that claimed to make dreams come true had revealed its true face, a machine that consumed women whole, spitting out whatever remained as cautionary tales or compliant commodities. Finding purpose meant first finding herself, getting physically healthy, then mentally. Managing cyclothymia with mood stabilizers brought no shame, only relief, like raising blinds to feel sunlight again. After her father's death, she entered a haze, slowly fusing the fragmented characters she'd played into one whole person. When friends approached saying it's time for her to direct, she discovered something that felt as natural as breathing. Directing her short film, Dawn explored what happens when girls are trained only to be polite, and she'd never felt more alive. Then came Twitter, and one night she posted a photo of an audition notice for an Adam Sandler film specifying tank top and tight jeans. The tweet went viral worldwide. This was her awakening, pulling threads of Hollywood's misogyny to free her own mind. The Directors Guild remains 96% male since 1946. Your entire life, you've consumed male thought about what women are and can be. In 2016, only 23% of speaking roles went to women. This isn't just statistics, it's how we form notions about ourselves, poisoning us in ways we don't always recognize. Bravery isn't fearlessness, it's acting despite fear. Stop apologizing for existing. Occupy space unapologetically. Women must build their own tables, invest in each other, and refuse demeaning roles and exploitative auditions. Men must recognize their role in perpetuating harm and break free from Hollywood's toxic masculinity. Challenge what you consume. Demand better narratives. If you're called bitter or a man-hater for fighting equality, remember, feminism simply means supporting equal rights, your basic humanity. The cult of Hollywood, like the children of God, thrives on silence and compliance. McGowan's journey from that Tuscan barn to becoming a silence breaker wasn't about becoming fearless. It was recognizing that every oppressive system operates identically, and your voice, however shaky or punished, is the only weapon that truly threatens them. Our lives and minds are at stake. Change the world by being brave enough to see the cult clearly and walk away.